Yeah, this is James Oylan.
I'm Titus Medina of Crimson Rain, and you're listening to Focus on Metal. Keep the fires of metal burning bright. Focus on
Hey, Metalhead, Scott Thompson here, welcoming you to episode 215 of Focus on Metal. So even though this is our first episode of 2015, I just really don't feel like this is our first episode of the new year, just because I was really hoping to kick off the first episode of 2015 with my bud Richie here in the co-host seat. However, despite Richie's best intentions in trying to make that happen, it really was all on me that this kind of all fell apart. So even though I've basically got my voice back and stuff, something else came back around and I have just been knocked on my ass for about a week now. And I really didn't want Richie coming down here and working in the studio with me and me coughing up a lung every 2 seconds and all that good stuff and getting him sick as well and having him bring this crap home. So I just said, I'm going to solo this one for the first week. Hopefully I'll get my shit together and be able to get back in the saddle with the regular Focus on Metal team next week. So I'm kind of considering this one to be the miracle episode because it's a freaking miracle I'm even getting this together tonight. So thankfully I had already got some audio edited up, and so I'm kind of was already halfway there for getting a show together this week. So I figured, yeah, let's suck it up. Let's get an episode out. And with that, let's dive into episode 215 with a little track of the week. Track of the week this week is from our friends in Bloodbound. That's right, Bloodbound has a brand new one out. It's called Stormborn. It was just released by our friends at AFM Records. Thing is freaking awesome. And I'm looking back and I'm trying to think, gee, when did the last one come out? Which is, you know, In the Name of Metal, which we also featured here as a track of the week. And I checked it out because I couldn't trust my brain on this one. It came out in 2012. And it blows my mind because I still have that one in my car. And it's interesting because recently I got a email from one of our longest listeners ever. And he was talking about the fact that Riot's Fire Down Under is one of these, you know, like lifetime albums, which is kind of a cool concept. And, you know, that he's talking about new things that might be lifetime albums. And I really felt that In the Name of Metal album from Bloodbound was definitely one of those new lifetime albums. And if you figure that after almost 2 years, it's still in my car, still a rotation in there, you know, that I think that one is going to be one of these ones that does step up there as a consistent lifetime album. And interestingly enough, Riot's Fire Down Under has also been in my car for quite a while. But we're here to feature this week, of course, is the brand new one from Bloodbound. Like I said, it's called Stormborn. Cover artwork is kick-ass. If you get the digipack, I tell you, there's a lot of red in this one. And it's just, I don't know, it has this almost cool metallic effect the way they did the paint and stuff. I can't quite figure it all out, but it's just pretty cool. Artwork is great. The booklet is awesome too. Full lyrics and all of that. Again, lots of red, I guess, you know, Bloodbound, right? But of course, artwork and all that, that's all one cool thing, but really it's all about the music, right? And once again, Bloodbound has brought it. You know, I definitely think if you are looking for a great power metal fix, you're looking for that Halloween, that Sabaton, a little bit of Iron Maiden, definitely some Hammerfall in there. You know, I always talk about that just awesome, cool European power metal. The guys in Bloodbound, they really bring it. So I'm looking through all the tracks on this, and one of them that kind of really stood out to me, just because it had this cool kind of Painkiller era Priest vibe to it, was the track Made of Steel. So I'm going to play that as our track of the week. So from the new one from Bloodbound called Stormborn, this is Made of Steel. All right. Was I right or what? Killer track right there off of the new one from Bloodbound called Stormborn. You can also pick that up at afm-records.de, and they do have a limited edition red vinyl version of that, as well as the normal digipack and CD versions. I know at one point they did used to have a bloodbound.se website. I did check it, and for some reason it doesn't seem to come up in the browser, so I'm not sure what's up with their website, but you can hook up with them on Facebook at facebook.com/bloodboundmetal and tell them you heard about them right here on Focus on Metal. So let's move on to the main event of the show. That is my talk with Crimson Rain. At the outset of the show, you did hear an ID cut by James Oylen and Titus from Crimson Rain. James is the brand new singer for Crimson Rain, and this is the first time that he is appearing for an interview anywhere. So we are pretty honored to be chosen to be his debut venue to speak out, let everybody know what's going on with Crimson Rain. And about, halfway through the interview, Darren, the bass player, also arrived at the practice space. So I actually had three of the guys from the band all on at the same time. Only thing missing was a drummer. And in actuality, right now, Crimson Rain does not have a permanent drummer. They are looking for a permanent drummer. They're in the Phoenix, Arizona area. And of course, if you hear the music and you're going, I'm kind of digging this, and you hear what the guys have to say, and they really seem like the kind of band that you might want to work with and something you could bring to the table, then certainly you would want to get a hold of those guys and offer your services. In the meantime, they have Dan Johnson playing drums for them. And you may know Dan. He played for Brian Head Welch, and also he's currently playing for the band Red. This was an interview I did back in December when I did a whole just blanket load of interviews all in one week, and Crimson Rain was one of the great interviews that I got to have. These guys prove that power metal is alive and well here in the US of A. And of course, you want to get a hold of these guys, you can hook up with them on their website at crimsonrain.net. Of course, that's Rain as in R-E-I-G-N. They are also on Facebook, facebook.com/crimsonrainmetal. And just like with Bloodbound, if you hook up with them on a Facebook, please let them know that you heard about them right here on Focus on Metal. So why don't we slide right into the interview? And of course, any tracks you're hearing from Crimson Rain on the show tonight, they are from their 2013 album, The Calling, and they are actively working on their brand new release. They hope to get it out in 2015. Looking forward to that. And when it does, really hoping to have these guys back on, talk about the new album, talk about what's going on with Crimson Rain, and let you guys hear some brand new Crimson Rain music. So why don't we turn it over to Titus and James from Crimson Rain.
Hey, metalheads, kick back, relax, raise the horns, and stay tuned for another original Focus on Metal, Metal Side Chat with your host, Scott Thompson.
All right, metalheads, in my ever-roaming quest to bring you guys great bands that I think you guys should know about and hear about, and I think that you once you hear them, you're just going to really be into them, I bring you Titus and James from Crimson Rain. How are we doing tonight, guys?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Doing swimmingly.
Swimmingly. That's the first time I think anyone's ever used swimmingly on here, so cool. So, of course, one of the big announcements that Crimson Rain wanted to let everybody know around the world, all you metal fans, is the fact that they now have a brand new singer, James Oylen. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did. Thank
awesome.
You.
He has now taken the frontman spot for Crimson Rain, and I think this is the first time you're actually on a show, correct?
Yes, that would be correct.
Yep. Awesome. That's great. I mean, it's something I think everyone to look forward to, and I guess that brings you guys closer to getting the band all solidified the way you want it, right?
Yeah, it's getting really close. It's sounding really good. I'm very happy with how things are going with James, and Darren's pretty tight, and we're having to deal with a temporary drummer situation until we find a permanent drummer to fill the slot for the long haul. But we are pushing the time to be able to start doing shows pretty soon. So it's sounding pretty good, and we have some things coming together to get a decent stage show for people to actually give us something to look at while we perform. And I think we're going to deliver a hell of a show, and they're really going to be enthused with what they hear with all the entire band. I think it's going to be a really solid sounding band.
Right, yeah. So I think right now on temporary drums, you still have Dan Johnson?
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. You know, I listen to the tunes you guys have got together, you know, on the first album, and, you know, you listen through that and you think, holy crap, this stuff just must come out just a tremendous live.
Yeah, the live sound, man, it's already just in our practice pad, really fattens it up, really captures the energy live. Of course, it's so hard to capture that on a recording, you know, when you're being so precise with the audio quality as well. And but yeah, the energy is definitely there. If you like what you're hearing on the CD, then you're going to love what you're hearing live.
Yeah. And it, you know, although you can tell that you took a lot of time of really being conscious of what you guys were recording on there, it still has kind of a live feel to it. It there's not really the sterile sound to it. It's got that, you know, it reminds me a lot of the stuff that like Queensryche was doing back with The Warning or with Rage, and before they started to really get, you know, really clinical about things. It still has that energy to it.
Well, that's cool. That's kind of actually the way I approached recording it as a producer. Instead of just setting like the tempo and laying it down flat for that, what I did instead was basically, you know, we just jammed out to how it felt right. And then I went through the song and found the existing tempo map that lied within the song. So there might even be certain fluctuations, even a few beats a minute from, say, the beginning of a song to, you know, where it comes in a little heavier or something, or vice versa, anywhere in the particular song. But yeah, I kind of wanted to do that because I know exactly what you're talking about. And a lot of the songs definitely sounded stale to just have, you know, the one tempo throughout the song. And sometimes a few beats a minute really makes the difference of the energy that you actually capture as well.
Right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, always, you know, a natural human drummer is always going to drop a beat here or there. So it just, it lends itself to that. When, you know, you talk about kind of, you know, jamming and getting songs together and stuff, I guess that kind of explains the outlier on The Calling, which is The Clairvoyant, which it's all of a sudden I went, whoa, we hit Pink Floyd land here all of a sudden. That was a very interesting song.
That's a change. Never heard that comparison before, but yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a different song for everybody on this album. It's interesting to hear what people, what the responses are and what their favorite songs are. It seems like, you know, everybody seems to have a different favorite. I don't ever hear a lot of the same song. Like, it's always mixed up, and there's always new influences coming at us from what they hear, and they're like, it's the first time I've ever heard the Pink Floyd comparison, but I have yet for any band we're compared to that, you know, I'm not happy to be compared to. I'd be glad if any of those bands, they've all been major, major arena-type acts.
And, yeah, yeah.
I guess it lets us know we're on the right track.
to me, that's nice to hear that you guys get all kinds of different comparisons and things as well, and that people are getting different things out. Because, you know, I would think that, you know, when I've put out stuff with bands in the past too, I was always hoping that people would pick, you know, different songs. As if everyone came back with the one favorite song, I'd be like, well, great, I did one great song and another nine songs of crap, you know. But it's nice when you get people coming back going, oh, I like this, no, I like that. I think that also lets you know that all your ideas work as well, and you don't feel like you have to write in one certain way.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And that's good because, you know, I mean, we have definitely have a certain direction of where we want to take things. However, you know, I'll stretch into, you know, anything else I can find to help a certain song identify with its own sound. And so I don't like to leave a limitation to sounding a certain way necessarily. You know, like I said, we definitely have a direction, but if the song I think calls for something a little different, then I'll, you know, we'll definitely pull it in there to make it what it is. And, how things go and how people take it. And there's always going to be people who love it and people who hate it. So we'll see what happens.
yeah, definitely. So, you know, James, for you as a singer coming into this, you know, you listened to the stuff that was on The Calling. Did you feel like a lot of pressure to kind of match up with those vocals? Are you, you know, kind of like, yeah, I've got this one? Because to me, I'm thinking it's some pretty challenging stuff to sing. It's, you know, with the tempos and the keys and all of that. And, you know, what was your feeling coming in on it?
I saw it as a very big opportunity. But as far as the challenge is concerned, sure. I mean, I wouldn't want to be involved in it if there wasn't some kind of a challenge to it. This is my first time singing in this style ever.
Wow!
For some reason, I always knew that I could. I just never had the opportunity. It never presented itself. And so, as soon as that happened, I was just all over it. I don't know. It was just, you know, every alarm went off and in my brain, and was like, this is for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of blows me away that you've never done stuff like this before. Because, to me, I would be like, wow, I don't know if I'm up to this one or not. But that's, I guess that says something about you as a singer. So that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. I want to do it justice for sure. I feel that I'm doing that. Everyone else seems pretty happy with it. So I'm definitely doing something right. what I'm really looking forward to is just, all of us, collaborating on more new material that, looking forward to. I mean, singing in this style is great, but writing in this style, I think that's the part I'm really looking forward to, I think. And of course the shows for sure. Always wanted to do this kind of thing. And always used to fantasize about it, and you know that opportunity's here, so I'm snatching it right up.
You know, I saw the picture you on stage with the megaphone, and I just was like, this dude just oozes front man, just awesome. I think like, holy crap, when with any band I had, why couldn't I have got a front man that just seems to look so completely comfortable on stage like that? So I think that you just present that entire front man image as well, which is great.
Thank you. People want to have something to look at when they go to a show. You want it to be a show. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm very much of that mentality.
Yeah.
Want to enjoy watching it just as much as you enjoy hearing it.
Right.
So, yeah, give people what they pay for.
There you go. I know. Whenever I've gotten having to front bands, it's like, well, I've had to play rhythm guitar and front, and you can't put on as much of a show when you're trying to play guitar and sing at the same time. But, you know, if it's just singing, yeah, you definitely can be that front piece, that focal point and all that. So it's, and like I said, you just look the part, which is great.
Thank you. I want people to leave the show feeling high from the show. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that. Even, you know, you kind of want the whole band to have that kind of thing too. That kind of that player's high when you're all done. You're just like, whoa, I want to do that again. So that's pretty cool. So you guys, you know, you're obviously in rehearsals right now, getting ready to do some touring.
We have been waiting to hear some results from a couple promoters to just do a little short tour, you know, at the end of the year. And we'll expand from there, of course, with maybe, you know, some other bands that are involved with, you know, online metal promotions. And probably end up doing a lot of shows with them throughout, you know, the next year for sure. Right now, we don't have any set dates. I have had, I just was on the phone with the promoter earlier, and they are waiting for to have a business meeting with somebody on Saturday. Then we'll find out more about some New Mexico and Colorado shows for now, at least. And then, yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. A lot of the times, things have a tendency to die down after the holidays for a couple months.
Right.
And after that, you know, I mean, we're going to be playing, you know, in probably less than a month, or right at about a month, and, you know, as far as locally around the Phoenix area, too. And then in the midst of any downtime, we'll be continuing to stay on top of what we have, as well as, you know, working on writing the second album. So we're going to be very busy regardless. And so it's about the time we get out there and you know, do some shows for this existing album. If things go well and how I foresee them going, then it won't be long behind that we start getting to be able to start showcasing a second album. Hopefully by the middle of next year, we'll at least have it in the studio. We'll see what happens, though.
Okay. Now, have you guys ever done any bills at all with Benedictum?
No, not yet. But actually, one of the promoters I was speaking with actually has mentioned getting on a bill with them. So that's sounds like it might be something we end up doing.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, they're from around there, too. And I think you guys would definitely fit that bill pretty well. And I was going to say, if, you know, no one had contacted you, maybe I could just drop the word to Peter Veronica to have them check you guys out, because I definitely think you guys would fit really well on a bill with them.
We'll take any help we can get. And I caught the tail end of the show over here to place a venue that's real close to my house once, and met her briefly. But it was a few months ago, and it was just kind of in passing. It was unexpected. I just hang out there on a regular basis, and every once in a while I get bands playing. So, but yeah, awesome.
Cool.
We definitely support. Yeah.
So, you know, once you get dates, you know, just, you know, you got my email, so shoot them out to me so I can, you know, I'll post them up and stuff for you, let people know where you guys are going to be. So as far as, you know, you guys have been writing now for a follow-up, and, you know, how far along are you guys with that?
Well, Zarin and I have had some stuff on the back burner for a while. We just have recently kind of skimmed the surface of opening that up in the midst of our search for a new singer, and we haven't continued to write now that James has been in the band, because we've been focusing on getting everybody up to speed as a whole. But, you know, there is one complete song written, and there are a couple that are pretty close to being complete, and then there are several partials and a few, you know, ideas that are just kind of floating out there as general riffs and concepts right now that are subject to change the title, the name, and storyline or whatever, but they have a general direction, if you will. Yeah. And based on those numbers, there's about 7 songs in the works right now. 1 that's complete, and then so really 6 more that are in the works. But, you know, so we have several more to write, and that's why it's going to be nice when here pretty soon, you know. I'm certain that by the end of this year, beginning of next year, we'll start hitting that pretty hard, and I think that some stuff's going to come out pretty fast and pretty solid.
Yeah, I agree. I have that feeling as well.
So, and I imagine probably some of the kind of delay or your reluctance to really dive fully into it too is the fact that not having that permanent drummer, you probably want to get that guy's feel into the songs as well.
I definitely prefer to. You know, Dan is definitely down to record a track on the album. He's a phenomenal drummer. I know that he would definitely save me a lot of money in the studio, because I know that he would nail his parts quickly, which is important. being the investor in this as well, and working out the deal. I've worked out with the engineer producer that's already lined up to do that. And yeah, it's I would definitely prefer that be the case. But worst case scenario, we're going to have some real killer sounding drums. And it's going to get down, and it's going to sound good.
Because I just know, you know, sometimes even a drummer might be able to comp it beat-wise or something, but then you have drummers that, you know, they tend to use their brass a little differently, and they kind of have a natural way of doing that, and you probably want to have it so that live, they're, you know, they have a tendency to play it in kind of the way they did on the album. So I could see maybe kind of waiting to see if you can dial into somebody that's, you know, going to stay with it. So
yeah, that would be nice. Unfortunately, that hasn't been the case so far. But yeah, we definitely would like to have that permanent fixture and, you know, contribution to the band as well.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to recommend my old drummer that I played with for years that moved out to Arizona, but he's really not that kind of double bass, more of a power drummer that you're looking for. So I don't think it would work out. He's a great guy, good drummer, but I don't think he fits your sound. So
yeah, you'd be surprised. You know, we're actually incorporating a lot of that with the second album, with what is in existence.
Yeah.
So yeah, they got to really be able to do both. This is, you know, the writing is definitely in a very versatile kind of direction. So you know, it's going to range from certain parts that are, you know, as simple as playing a death metal blast beat for maybe just a few short measures to something very intricate, like a Neil Peart kind of performance as well. You know, the Mike Portnoy drummer are in the vein of him is really what we're trying to get on board with those here.
Right. Awesome. Well, you know, if I'm walking around Berkeley in Boston and I happen to come across like that guy, I'll refer him to you. So
that'd be awesome. Yeah, we just had Darren walk into the jam pad here too, so we have Darren here as well now.
Awesome.
Hi.
How we doing, Darren?
Pretty good. Just getting here, dealing with traffic. my name is Darren Stitzelino. Moved down here from basically the Navajo Reservation, North Arizona. I've been here at the Titus for a long time, and, you know, on and off with the band, and then coming back and getting stuff, kicking up the gears again. I don't know what we said already, but everything with the second album, what we were trying to focus on is being the darker, haunting sounds and pulling from different elements of different genres and trying to update what we can, adding new elements, you know, just doing stuff differently, not reinventing the wheel, but just taking a different doing a different take on it, you know?
No, that's cool. I know that, you know, definitely there's some elements of that on that first one, too, where you kind of go darker as well, and you guys do it really well. So, you know, if that's kind of what you're heading towards, that I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Yeah, we have a lot of ideas, and you know, coming back, and we feel like this next move is to take this band a lot further and see what we can do with it.
There's a big old pile, and we got to sift through the pile. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I've got tape after tape of, you know, I listen back to all those little riffs and ideas and all that stuff, and it's some of it's like I can't even remember. I played that, really? Like, when the hell did I do that? But yeah, definitely.
But tell Darren and tell everybody involved, if you have an idea, record it, because I have forgotten more ideas than I can remember, because I have had a habit since I started playing guitar of always, you know, when I'd go to bed at night, I always had to get one of my guitars by my bed, and so I'd sit there and play through stuff, and sometimes I'll come up with a cool little riff, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll remember that, you know, in the morning. That's very memorable. I'll go over it a dozen times, and then I fall asleep, you know, holding the guitar, and then I wake up, put it down, and go back to sleep. And the next day, I'm like, what the hell was I doing? I have no idea.
Yep. Oh yeah, it's true. I had a whole conversation one night with Chris Poland about that. You know, you get this riff and you're playing it over and over again. You finesse it. You think you got it perfect, and you think this riff is so awesome, I can't possibly forget it. I can remember this, no problem. Yeah, the next day you try to play it, and you can't play a single note of it. It's totally gone, and you're like, God, all I had to do was like just record like 2 seconds of it on my iPhone. I would have been all set. And yeah, he's like, I know, I do it all the time too. I think it's like a great riff, and I don't write it down. I don't record it, and the next day he's the same thing. We talked about that for a while, just like beating each other up about it. So yep, I hear you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
yeah, we've all our share of a certain issue, a certain element that will cause you to have a shorter capability of shorter capability of your short term memory. So,
get too much pharmaceutically challenged.
Uh-huh. No, we've had a lot of stuff we've gone through. Even for the first album, I had stuff back I came up with in high school and showed Titus, and he was like, well, we can redo this and we can do that, and let's try this way. And next thing you know, dude, I got this whole song worked out. Even with this stuff, the new stuff now, we're sitting here practicing, and it was like, let's try some new stuff. And, you know, he's playing stuff, and I go, I got something that would fit that right here. Well, why don't you just try it like this? And next thing you know, we're like, dude, come back tomorrow, you know, you got to hear this. Whatever we did, it sounds great, you know. So now we're really excited for what the future of Crimson Rain has. Given that James is now in the band and taking it a lot further, adding to the sound that we have been envisioning in our heads and hearing, you know, we can't wait to go be out there as soon as possible.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a really good time for you guys, too, because there's been this tide over the last year, 9 months or so of I think a lot of metal fans are listening to the music again and realizing it isn't all about tuning 8 steps down and all this stuff, but that you need songs with some melody and you know, some mid-range in there to make it punchy, and that's you guys.
Yeah, you got to get me on a tangent now. I could not agree with you more. Yes, it doesn't have to lose the music in it to be heavy. And I'm a firm believer in that. And what you said exactly.
Right.
And we, like I was saying before, we just like taking elements from different styles and genres of bands, guitar playing wise, you know, playing 7-string guitars, playing 8-string guitars, you know, it's cool to do that. But if you can use it and adapt to it and play something, you know, to what you're really doing, you know, like what we're playing, and use it to not just to overdo something. You use it to, like, you know, to add
your sound, not pigeonhole your sound and limit your sound to that particular low end. You know,
exactly. And I feel
you know, everybody keeps saying that like power metal, progressive power metal and all this stuff is gone. It's not really gone. It's just no one has really gotten the balls to do it right.
I agree with that, and I think that a lot of bands aren't writing what they feel so much anymore. Sure. The kind of what they think they should be writing.
Copying.
I think that has a lot to do with it. And I think if it's just like, you know, I've been approached by bands before where it's like, okay, we want to do, you know, we want to have 80% of this, 80% of what you do is scream the entire time. And then 20% of it, I'm like, dude, why are you mapping it out like that? There's no map to this. You just write, why don't you just write what you feel? What's, you know, what's wrong with that?
Right.
Like if I feel like I need to, scream my head off, then I will. If I can, you know what I mean. But it's like it has to just come the way that it comes.
Yeah.
And when that you can do no wrong, as long as you do it that way, you can't fail.
I think the other thing too that's nice about, you know, like what you're doing and other bands that are doing stuff, you know, in that same kind of vein too, is like you said, when you get the kind of the screamo band or they're, you know, all cookie band and stuff, there's no kind of like, okay, this band sounds exactly like the last band that sound like exactly like the last band. And now, you know, instead you get like a great singer like James in there. You want to have people, as soon as they hear his voice, go, wait a minute, I know that voice. Wait a minute, I know that guitar sound. Oh, this has got to be Crimson Rain, and not just sound like everybody else that they think they should sound like, you know. So it's nice that you have a personality.
That has been a major, major key factor in the direction I've chosen to go for everything we've just been discussing. The great bands that are out there that you know, hear you sound like this or that, you know, these bands, when you hear them, like you said, you know who they are. When you hear, you know, an Artificial Harmonic hit by Zakk Wylde, you know it's Zakk Wylde on guitar. You know it's Ozzy's voice, you know. There's so many people that have these identifiable sounds, and they lay down a groundwork for that. The problem is you get so many people that try to mimic that, and that's the problem with the Phoenix area. Everybody's trying to either be a new version of Pantera or Cannibal Corpse, that's definitely it. That's why it's like, yeah, definitely, you know, we definitely are set apart from the other sounds that are in the Valley and other local bands and other bands I've seen around the nation in different places. You know, you just don't get a lot of that, the sound that we have and the direction we're going. So it is nice to at least have that going. So at least, like you said, when you do hear it, you're going to know it's us. Or
we'll be right back. It's the Suns.
There's another reason I really, really like, you know, what James has brought to the table too. You know, he's got a very unique voice that I can only compare to closely to one other person I've ever heard. That oddly enough, probably 10 years ago, I said, "Hey, if I get another singer in the band, it's going to be this guy." And that was Nader of, Dupriest.
Oh, Nader Dupriest, yeah, from London, yeah.
London, exactly. And that song, Roger Through the Night, the way that he sounds, and, James hit a note. I just laughed at Darren, or not at Darren, but with Darren, and because it hit me, and I'm like, what the hell was that, man? I'm like, that was badass. I'm like, what was that sound? Who is that? Who is that sound? I'm like, what is it? Because there's some the whole time, like, man, he's got that little raspy thing going, but just right, and I'm closest I could come to before that was, like, Blackie Lawless, but it was more, a little, you know, had more elements about it, and then he hit this particular note in the song, and it sounded just like Nader in a song, Riding Through the Night, when he hit his eyes in there. It was like, hell yeah. I don't know anybody else that sounds like that. I've never heard anybody that sounded like Nader at all. And, you know, of course, James has his own unique voice to go with that, but to compare it to anybody I've heard, that's who I'd have to say that the sound is, and so that's going to make us have a heavier tone, but it allows me as a, you know, musician to contribute writing without any limitations, because I hate that. I'll buy, you know, things that have more options than I need just in case I need them, and that's what's going to be fantastic, and we're all very excited about writing a second album, and that's one of the reasons why I am as well, is because I don't have to limit any ideas I have in my head for any vocal parts that I may have in mind too, saying, oh, he can only sing it this way or that way. He, you know, most of the time people can hit highs, they have a very thin sounding voice and sing that upper range, or if they can hit lower aggressive stuff, they don't, they're not able to hit those highs. And, James has that range, and it's just going to be, I'm very excited about it. It's going to be I think it's going to be something special.
Awesome. Yeah, and that's cool. I mean, if he's got that, like you talk about that little bit and like that Nader rasp, and I mean, that just like, that's that little personality in the voice that it's like this little musical imperfection, but it just instantly identifies like, oh, I know who that guy is. And it just adds so much personality to the song as well. And that's cool if he's got that. Yeah, I'm even more psyched about hearing some new Crimson Rain.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to go for, is like, we try and pull different stuff from, you know, having him come in and pulling some different stuff, different elements. We really kind of up the game for Crimson Rain.
Plus incorporating, you know, his own, all the stuff he has in the back burner and other ideas to contribute as well. I can definitely tell that, you know, it's just going to fuel the fire. It's not going to inhibit it, because I've dealt with a lot of that. And, I've used this particular phrase before. I've dealt with a lot of people that are just musically retarded. And it's no offense to anybody, but it's just hard to do something when, you know, as you go on and, you know, and feed your brain, which a lot of people don't, as time goes on as a musician, you get better and better and have more to more opportunities to create and have other ideas. And
to convey musically what you're trying to come.
A lot of people just can't keep up with the idea of what you're saying. You can't communicate, you can't speak the language, is a lot of what it comes down to.
Right.
If you can't sit there and discuss what you're talking about, and you kind of have to revert to a teaching element, which I've done, and it makes it difficult, you know, to move forward when you have to try to pull somebody up to where you're at.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something I've always told, you know, even younger bands are asking, you know, they show me stuff and go, hey, what do you think? You know, what should we do or whatever? And one thing I always tell them is that, you know, you can't just be listening to that one type of band. You know, I tell them, you should go listen to this, these jazz guys or this or that. And they're like, well, you know, but I'm not into that. It's like, yeah, but otherwise you're going to be stuck doing this. You're never going to get any other ideas and you're going to sound just like everybody else that's doing this. But, you know, if you go off and listen to somebody else, you might go, wow, that's a pretty cool riff. How does he do that? And you can incorporate that and make it into what you're doing, but you have to grow somewhere in there.
Yeah, and feed your brain, you know. Study music theory. You got to know that stuff in order to expand. And I mean, everything you learn, it's like opening up a new door. And when you learn, there's certain things as you, you know, knowledge is power. I'm a firm believer in that. As you acquire these skills, then it opens up, like I said, these many, many doors of things that you never even knew existed. And things start to really make sense. Instead of just going through the mechanical motions of it, hearing what you like, when you really start to understand what's happening, man, that's, I guess, really what I'm talking about, what starts to set you apart from other people who haven't. A lot of people get very comfortable and they get stuck in a rut of what they know. They like to play a certain way, they play certain things. And, you know, it's frustrating to learn sometimes and to have to take a step back and stop moving. And sometimes it's frustrating because you're not getting something or whatever. But, man, if you can push through that and acquire that, then, you know, that is everything.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, one of the coolest stories I remember is, you know, Steve Vai, when he was going over to Europe and he was traveling the countryside and he just got into this whole Hungarian country music. I don't know if you remember this at all, but he came back and he started learning all these different Hungarian music modes and trying to figure out how they worked and came together and breaking them apart and all this. And then, you know, the next thing you know, he started incorporating some of that stuff in his songs. And he's one of these guys when people talk about always learning, or as, you know, you talk about feeding your brain, it's like Vi is like the example, I think, of that, where he's always going out there and trying to, you know, learn something new and incorporate it and really dig into it and know it inside and out.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I got to say that, yeah, and this is a compliment to the band, I don't have to dumb anything down when I have, when I want to express an idea, which is really nice. Even if it's just a tiny little, detail, like the certain pitch of a certain scream and a certain part, I'll look at Titus. I'll be like, I'm pretty sure he hits an F on the record. And he's like, yeah, I think so too. I'm like, yeah, well, just make it an E. Tell you, we'll make it an E. And then it's just kind of a nod. And then we move on. It's just like, you know what I mean? The conversation takes like four seconds. And you don't find that very often, in my experience. That is a huge breath of fresh air for me.
Yeah. Must be killer too, because it used to always be, you know, with guitar players, we always start talking about keys and everything. And there's like the private joke of like, let's confuse the singer. So it must be right. Killer on their end too, to have, you know, the singer that can identify, yeah, this is where, you know, I think we need to go and talk in the same language. I mean, that just accelerates everything so much faster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was a nice surprise. Expecting that, you know, you always hope for it, but no, yeah, this is, yeah, I think we really got something special here right now. So, yeah, I definitely want to see what we can do with this. And, whenever we get something out, I definitely want to take a listen to it.
Yeah. We were catering to trying to find a singer that would sound like the guy who sang on the record or the CD and hit the notes, you know, and we were like, well, just hit these notes. If you can just hit these notes, then we'll work with everything else. We'll try to, and you know, the other guy we had to let go couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, and when James came in, it was like, you know, he, you know, a couple of practices into it, and he was like, dude, this is like, he made the song sound fresher, sound aggressive, you know. It's like, this
sounds better,
way better. And I was like, this is what we were looking for right here, you know. And it's just like, now we can move forward, you know. We got one piece solidified. We can just like, now we're just trying to, you know, find other team elements, you know.
Yeah.
It's also the fire that was, you know, definitely on the verge of going out down to the pilot light, I think, at that point, and, you know, stretching across, you know, the world looking for somebody and figuring out how we're going to deal with that, if we find the right person, if they even exist. And I was like, oh, by the way, I got this guy that's here in town, you know, a mutual friend of ours. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, send him up, let's see. I'm like, oh, okay, he'll probably talk. I just kind of expected to go jump through the same hoops as I'm used to dealing with. And it was just kind of like little by little. And I'm always very skeptical about whoever is, you know, I'm dealing with. Not to be negative, but just to be, you know, I guess professional on the criticism to make sure that things are going to go in the right direction.
Yeah,
as it came through, and then as... Yeah, you know, like I told James initially, like, you can't really tell from just one practice, you know, let's just try to do a few practices and see, you know, where things are at and make sure that, you know, your good performance wasn't just a fluke. And you really do have decent timing, and let's see what happens. Yeah, when it was, it all came together, definitely, even now, I mean, I look forward all week, like, you know, like I always had growing up at playing before. To, you know, when we can all get together and play again, you know, on the days that we're not able to do so for whatever reason, then I just can't wait till the day we can again. And it's a good feeling. It's exciting. And it's good to play through the songs and then sound good and know that they're ready to hit the stage and not have to just sit there and play the same song over and over and over again because somebody keeps messing up a part that you've already showed them 10 times, you know.
Yeah.
I got to say, it's getting really cramped on this couch because of my head inflating so much.
All right, now he's getting lead singer disease. All right,
them off the couch with my enormous head.
Awesome. And now, of course, you know, the real question is, though, now, as a lead singer, do you still carry gear?
Oh, he doesn't. He's got his cards.
He will, yes.
His singer membership card, our union card, has come in.
Luckily, because James has experience as a musician outside of being a vocalist, it's also another great thing about this is that we're not dealing with LSD.
There you go.
Lead singer disease.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing.
I actually don't come from a background of being a front man. Well, at least that wasn't my origin. You know, I grew up as a classically trained pianist. Yes, I know. Yeah, you're all thinking it. It's okay. back in high school, I was a drummer for a number of punk bands, and then I wound up doing keys for a good friend of mine's band a long time ago. Anyway, you kind of learn the ropes and, you kind of learn your place in everything that you do. And I've been a stagehand. I've been a lot of things and all of that builds experience and it builds humility and it builds experience at the same time. And when you walk into something like this, you're very well equipped because you're able to see just about all ends of it, of how it all works. You're able to relate to people, to everyone involved from whatever their walk of life may be. And that goes far past just the instrument they play. It has to do with how they think. And how that applies to their contribution to it, and I feel that I'm at that point, you know. And you only get there just from doing everything you can, just getting your hands as dirty as possible as often as possible. So you know when you walk into something like this after all that, it's like, well, here we are, yeah. Here we are, and this is everything has led up to this.
that's good. I still run into guys that I play with, you know, back in the late 80s and stuff. And there was one band we used to work with all the time and do a lot of double bills with. We even were in the same rehearsal facility. and they had a great singer. But yeah, whenever it came in for a load in, load out, for some reason, we just could never find him. And then as soon as everything was loaded up again, he would reappear. And it was like every single time. I don't think he ever like carried a speaker cab or anything the entire time we knew him. And we see each other occasionally, you know, the other guys in the band. And it's still a running joke about that, the one guy with the lead singer disease that you never could find. So it's cool that you're in there and still doing loadout and everything else. So it's, I think you'll be pushing them way off the couch at this point. But, you know, it's all right. You earned it.
I think your guy was in the bathroom getting head. That's just my personal opinion. But.
So as far as, you know, people listening into this and they want to find out more about Crimson Rain and keep up with you guys, what's the best places online that they should head to?
Our official website is crimsonrain.net. And from there, there is also a button that will take you straight to the Facebook page. Or, of course, you can always search on Facebook for Crimson Rain Metal. The actual address is facebook.com/CrimsonRainMetal is the actual address to get to our Facebook page. And, you know, within all that, it can take you, you know, to a lot of different places. General search on Google will take you probably to either of those places as well. So, CrimsonRain.net is our official website. From there, you can get around anywhere you need to go.
Awesome. And of course, people should know that on CrimsonRain.net, you guys do have merch available, right? You got CDs, posters, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah. Stickers, you know, you can buy the CD directly, as well as, you know, the CD is available, physical distribution through CDBaby.com and several other places, too. It's they have a pretty good distribution system with people, so you can probably go anywhere and order it if you deal with an actual record store. Of course, you can download it from just about any digital distributor that's out there, you know, iTunes, CD Baby themselves, Amazon, you know, it's all over the place in the digital realm. So whatever you're used to dealing with or your way of attaining music, you probably shouldn't have a problem finding us if you look for us.
Right. And you guys always say that as far as, you know, non-U.S. people want to get the physical copy, the best bet is to go through CD Baby, correct?
Yeah, I think because I believe they get better deals on shipping. So I think they would cost the people outside of the United States less money for shipping, as well as it doesn't shoot us in the foot, because I've actually ended up just eating it myself to make sure that people can get the CD that have ordered it in Spain and Germany, for example, different places like that, Sweden, have ordered stuff. And, you know, I went ahead and just ate the shipping costs just to get people the music over there and without having to have them, go broke just to buy one CD. So I think that's probably a lot better way to ship that in a more fair realm for everybody that way.
Right, yeah. So definitely, guys, if you're looking for your Crimson Rain merch, you can go up there and nicely laid out web store, and you'll be in and out of there in minutes. So yeah, good, nicely done site.
Thank you. It's one of the main things I've had to do myself as well.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I do all the website stuff for the show as well. One of my other old guitar players, he was doing the web stuff for a while, and he actually, that's what he does for a living, but he wasn't able to do it anymore, so I had to like quickly relearn how to do all the HTML again. But when you're forced to do it, you quickly relearn.
And you achieve.
There it is. I've been looking forward to this, ever since Ben set it up. So I'm just glad we're able to actually make this happen. And even better that we actually able to get all three of you on as well, which is even much cooler. It doesn't happen very often on the show where I get to have like the whole band on. I think the last time was with the Sound of Thunder. I managed to get them during a practice to get the whole band on. So it's always good to have, get everybody on as well and get everybody kind of a nice flavor of how the band is. And, I think definitely through the interview, you can tell you guys have a real cool chemistry, and it's definitely a band and a band of musicians. And I'm hoping that when people listen to this, that's kind of what they get out of it as well.
Yeah, I agree. It's nice setting, and it's good that you have everybody on here as well too. It's gives you that edge, because this is definitely our the first interview that we're able to do with James and the band. So we're very excited to have him with us, and I'm very happy that he's able to start contributing, and you're able to be part of that as well.
Awesome. Keep in touch with me. You got my email address. We want to get the word out when the new album is ready, or if you get any other major stuff, touring or anything else you want people to know about, just shoot me an email.
That's great. Yeah, we'll definitely let you know for sure. And things should be developing, reasonably quickly. So it shouldn't be too long before you hear from us again.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Again, I thank you for taking time off from working hard at the practice to come on and shoot the crap with me all about Crimson Rain. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Likewise. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, man.
All right, guys. Have a good practice, and hopefully we'll be talking to you again soon.
Sounds good, Scott. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
There you go. My talk with Titus, Darren, and James from Crimson Rain. And as I had mentioned, did play a couple cuts off of their 2013 debut album, The Calling. I played The Clairvoyant. I played Signs of the Times, and the title track was the last track that I played, The Calling. And of course, Signs of the Times is also available on a couple of different compilations as well. You can get links for those compilations up at focusonmetal.blogspot.com. Also in there, I threw in a little Benedictum. Any chance I get to play a little Benedictum, I take it. That was Veronica Freeman and the Boys off of the Seasons of Tragedy album with Legacy. So of course, during our talk with James and Darren and Titus, they brought up some comparisons of James's voice to that of Nader the Priest of London. And I thought as I was going out and finishing up this whole episode to think, damn it, I don't think I've ever played any London here on the show. No, they were a great influential band. A lot of guys passed through their ranks. I mean, yeah, everybody knows Nikki Sixx. Yeah. But I'm sure that if I had Bob Nelbandian in here doing a bit of a commentary track for us, he could really break it down and explain how influential London was. And I'm sure that's probably going to come out in one of his next volumes in the Inside Metal series. But I thought, okay, you've heard what Crimson Rain sounded like on that first release, The Calling. So then you think, okay, how are we going to match that up? And I thought, well, just kind of get you in that headspace since you just heard some Crimson Rain. I would ride out today's show, play a little bit of London, and in fact, do it by playing the song that they mentioned, particularly in what they were comparing James's voice to. That is the track Ride You Through the Night. This one pops up on Playa de Rock, which is kind of a weird thing. As far as I understand it, it is a Depriest album and it's a London album released under both names. I don't know. Can't figure that one out. But nonetheless, great album. Lots of great tracks on this. And this one here, it just has this one of the most smoky intros you're ever going to hear as well. So with that, take what you heard from Crimson Rain and then stick Nader DePriest's voice off of this song on top of that. And I'm thinking that's what we're going to get off of the new album from Crimson Rain. Looking forward to it. That will do it for another week of Focus on Metal. Hope you guys enjoyed our chat with Crimson Rain. And of course, pick up the Calling and other Crimson Rain merch at crimsonrain.net. And of course, do your metal heart a favor and get the brand new one, Stormborn by Bloodbound. Great album. You won't regret that one. Also, remember to keep up with us at focusonmetal.net, focusonmetal.blogspot.com, as well as twitter.com/focusonmetal. So I'm sticking a fork in this one. It's officially done. For Richie and myself and everybody else here at Focus on Metal, we want to thank you for listening to us last year and hope that you continue to listen to us in 2015. Let all your metal friends know as well and grow our audience. And of course, a big thanks to all of our label partners as well as all of our great internet radio partners. Definitely can't do it without those guys. So have yourselves a good metal week. Until we talk to you again next week, remember,
Focus on Metal!
Everything else is insignificant.
You're still here? It's It's over. Go home.